102.7 ESPN. This is 102.7 ESPN. KPPA HD2 and K274AX, Austin.
From the 102.7 ESPN studios in Austin, Texas, this is the Jeff and Ed Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Ed Clements and Jeff Ward. And we've got Trey Campbell pushing the right buttons today on this Thursday edition. It was a Longhorn day at the SEC Media Day. Trey Elling will have Arch on at 6 o'clock, an interview he did earlier. And earlier this afternoon, head coach Steve Sarkisian talked about a lot of things with the media at the SEC Media Days.
If we beat Ohio State last year, surely we're in a much better position when it comes to the playoffs. But on the other side of it is, if I don't play Ohio State and I play Jones Junior High, and we're 10-2, and our two losses are to Georgia and Florida, we're a playoff team. But like anything in this world, if you want to be really good at something, you got to take risk. There's a lot of value in that win if you can get the win. And so is the juice worth the squeeze or not? That's what we're all tasked with. And so I don't know yet about Notre Dame. We'll see. Because I think the committee's got to show us what happens now and what's the value that they're placing on strength of schedule. And are we going to let a 9-3 team in as an at-large? We'll find out. And I think that this year is going to be a great test to that of what that looks like.
He was talking about Notre Dame in a couple of years. It's on the schedule.
To not play them?
It sounds like that. Yeah. It sounds like that. But yeah, he doesn't make that decision. It's Del Conte that makes that decision.
Well, does he read about the playoff committee? It says right here, it's the strength of schedule, SOS, and strength of record are official heavily weighted metrics used by the College Football Playoff Selection Committee and ranked teams.
Yeah, but he was making a point with the Jones Junior High that they had to play Jones Junior High 10-2 versus 9-3.
Well, sure.
But it was a glaring, and you're right, the committee, and I'm not sure if it was supposed to be in play, but the committee watched that Mississippi State game. They watched the Kentucky game. Well, they know they won by the hair of their chin.
When I've been complaining for 2 years about why you don't want to have, what is his solution then?
His solution is don't play, and he can't do that because he's still going to play a division, a Power Four conference, member to non-conference. I don't know what his...
This is the thing that should drive most people crazy. You hear coaches, he's doing it, and he's not the only one. Most of them do. They criticize their industry all the time. I have yet to hear one specific solution. What does he want to do? I just said the committee has a policy about strength of schedule. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like it, so what is he specifically offering?
Well, I don't know if he wants clarity from the committee or what.
It's an opinion-based committee.
It is.
And that works for ESPN,
But Kiffin also brought it up today, and Kiffin says...
Kiffin's covering his ass.
They are. He said they need to take a long look at an 11-1 team making the playoffs from the ACC, the Big 12, or the non-Power Four conferences versus a 9-3 SEC team that had three losses against highly ranked teams.
But this is the business you guys signed up for, and you offer no specific solutions except you don't like their opinions.
You sound like the Corleones. This is a business we signed up for.
Well, but you see what I'm saying is the NFL, we never have this discussion,
do
we?
No, because they have concrete, they've got metrics.
And so if Steve Sarkisian or Lane Kiffin, who I believe are just doing cover their ass stuff right now, they're trying to campaign because they work in a sport where the haves have all the say, they're just trying to campaign ahead of time. I'll say it again, his threat that he wouldn't play Notre Dame is offensive.
But again, I think that's rather dramatic for me because it's not his decision.
Why is he even saying stuff like that?
Cover?
Yeah. I never hear a coach in the NFL go, we shouldn't have to play them. Shut up and play.
Yeah. But in NFL, that's 32 teams. Mm-hmm. Fairly equal.
In college football, it's about 20 of them call all the shots.
Mm-hmm.
And his is one of them.
And you better win.
Yeah. I mean, come on. But
you better win.
I mean, if he has a solution or Lane Kiffin says the committee needs to do this, then say it. You just don't like their opinion.
Well, Lane Kiffin says they need to take a deeper dive on the losses of a three-loss LSU team versus a one-loss James Madison.
No, I know.
Madison,
I mean, but any one of us can have an opinion about that team.
See, that's the problem. It's all opinion-based.
Yeah, I mean, we can argue. We all do it. We can argue that was a good loss. That was a bad loss. I mean, so it's just opinion. So Lane Kiffin's opinion is no different than some dude's in the corner of a bar. Why the committee says they do exactly what these coaches are suggesting. If you don't like the way the committee operates, say it and offer something specific.
See, last year was just, to me, Texas did not deserve to be in the playoffs last year. No way. Because of the Florida loss, the Ohio State loss, and the Georgia loss, and the near misses where they won by their hair, their chinny chin chin against really piss poor teams, Kentucky and Mississippi State.
Well, here's the thing. Why is he saying this right now?
Cover. It's all about.
I mean, that's offensive. Again, it's offensive.
Well,
just play.
I don't take it as offensive. I just think the coach trying to cover his arse.
Cover for what? You didn't even make the playoffs, man.
Future.
He's rich.
Well,
he's got a guaranteed contract.
It's not about being rich, Jeff. It's being in the playoffs.
Then do it.
Exactly.
Don't lose to Florida.
Oh, win. Yeah.
I mean. It's just, but for him to even mention a future game against Notre Dame as if to say, well, I don't know, maybe not. Are you kidding?
That would be terrible for the fans.
You get to hand pick your schedule.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, you do.
No, you don't.
Look how they're spaced. Look, who do they play after Ohio State?
The non-conference
right.
You
it's all hand-picked.
Those are three games.
In the NFL, do you get any say?
Those are three games. And he gets no say in the SEC.
I know that. But it's not like they're playing Ohio State and Michigan back-to-back. They've hand-picked those games.
Now, that would be a challenge.
That would be a challenge.
It would be a challenge.
You see what I'm saying?
Throwing Notre Dame.
They get to hand-pick.
As a football fan, how great would that be? This week, Longhorns be hosting Ohio State.
Right.
Next week, Michigan.
Notice how they don't have difficult games back-to-back in non-conference.
No, and
they're hand-picked.
And they space it well where they're prepared for Oklahoma.
They space it because they get to dictate the terms.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to dictate the terms, but yet is complaining now. It's really not that tough. I mean, maybe you draw a difficult SEC schedule periodically. They do. So what? I mean,
that's the way it is in the SEC.
Try the NFL, man, and utter a sentence like that and see how that works out.
He did say something interesting today about the new running backs, Relic Brown and Hollywood Smothers. He says they're both going to play a lot of football. We said we didn't bring him here for one to be the backup, so it looks like they're both going to be in a lot. So I think that's exciting because that's sort of under the radar compared with all the Cam Colvin and the Wingo stuff, which is going to be great for the receiver. It's there. It's there, we think, but we don't know.
We don't know.
About the big guys up front.
I would nerdy scheme talk, and I don't know the answer to this, but if Texas, because of design or because what Arch Manning is comfortable doing, wants to be this, my guy will outrun your guy and I'm going to throw it as far as I can kind of offense, you need a play action game. And you only get a play action game when you can run.
Yeah.
So
I feel like these two guys will be able to.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know. But I'm saying is it will make all the difference in the world if they can consistently chew you up and they're running play action on second and four instead of having to drop back when it's third and 14.
How often do you run the quarterback, though? How often do you run Arch Manning? Because I think if you run Arch Manning a lot, you're going to have that collective hold your breath time.
But I do think they win games because of him running.
We saw that last year against Michigan and the legendary Biff Pogi.
Right, but he can run, and it's just something you can't account for all the time. So I think they end up winning a couple more games because he can run around and beat guys with his legs. It just comes at a diminishing return. Sooner or later, it doesn't end well. But I think they have to use him. Or maybe they, you know, maybe we don't know, but ideally you'd be able to run. You want the run game so you can run play action.
Yeah.
And you don't want the run game to have to be your quarterback outrunning seven dudes on defense. He can do it, and it'll happen, but it doesn't help your pass game. The thing that, other than the obvious offensive line with Texas, the thing that in the middle of the year, when you get into good teams, here's what I think they don't have, other than the obvious, and that is pass protection or running the ball. They don't have, seem to have a very good intermediate pass game. Well, I don't see a tight end at all.
That was his weakness last year with the short passes.
I don't know if that's by design. Right.
Well, see, that was his weaknesses with short passes.
I think that's more Arch Manning than it is Steve Sarkisian. Mm-hmm. I think. But I don't know. But you know, the guy can run, but you don't want hands in his face all the time. And you got to get the ball out of your hands faster against better competition. And that's the thing I don't know about him, and I don't know about their offense.
That they need to incorporate a tight end in the, because they did somewhat last year.
But if you look at their pass game, it really is throw it as far as you can. Mm-hmm. And they have athletic guys. They have two great receivers. One is sort of hit or miss, but Ryan Wingo one day is going to be a great receiver if he can get consistent.
Quinn Ewers was so good at finding the tight ends,
yeah.
And the tight ends were...
The ball gets out of his hands.
Yeah, very much in play.
The ball doesn't get out. I don't know if it's by design or it's Arch Manning. It doesn't get out of his hands very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And when you play good competition, when you play lousy competition, it shouldn't matter.
Ooh, that game against Ohio State's going to be good. It really...
But you got to get it out of your hands.
Yeah,
when you play these teams that can get a pass rush, and that's why in the NFL, you don't see shotgun as much as you do in college, because you don't have that option. You got to get it out of your hands. There's too many hands in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And... I'm not saying anything he doesn't know, and I don't know if that's a by design thing or if that's a Arch Manning thing.
We heard those pea brains on Get Hard, Get Up on ESPN.
Keep calling it that. That's funny.
Get up, get right.
I like it.
Get ready.
Get hard.
Sponsored by Blue Chew.
Now, Trey,
it's hosted by a woman.
Well, that's who Blue Chew is hired instead of me, and they got a bunch of young...
I knew I shouldn't have said
they
that.
They got a little young-looking babe saying, hey. Yeah.
She's the rocket scientist who introduced the topic. Is it Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys?
Somebody gave her that topic, though, to be fair.
Probably somebody said, read this. But I pose this question to you, Jeff Ward.
Oh.
Is it national champion or bust for the Texas Longhorns?
Almost.
I would say almost, too.
Almost.
I'd say almost. It would say it's going to be, I will say this word, it's going to be disastrous if they don't make the playoffs.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's
disastrous.
That's disastrous.
That's something bad has happened.
He still doesn't get fired.
I don't think. You know what? This was posed by my guys on college football who kept talking soccer with him. Somebody said, will Steve Sarkisian ever take a pro job? Unless something that goes really, really bad here. Because he's got it good, but if he starts losing here and the natives are restless and the Regents and O'Connor get restless,
well,
if you don't make
a playoff at Texas, you're not getting hired by the NFL.
No,
I don't think he's getting hired by the NFL no matter what. But
if they
don't make a playoff, it is a disaster. Whether that's fair or not, you know, I mean, they could have a bunch of injuries. Stuff happens. But
if they don't win a game in the playoff, it's a disaster.
I would say it this way, in terms of perception. If they're not in the Final Four, it's a ridiculous underachievement.
Yeah.
He needs, for perception, for street cred, he needs to get to that championship game.
And
he's run out of that program. I'll put it this way. That program has no excuses. Everybody else in their stratosphere has played for it or won it.
Mm-hmm. Ohio State, Notre Dame,
Michigan,
Georgia.
Yeah.
And you look at when Texas went to the game with Washington a step before the national championship game, and quite frankly, they were lucky to get to the fourth quarter where they got inside.
Really lucky.
Well, really lucky. It was one of those, dang, this has been exciting. This is, boy, the future is going to be bright. Okay, then you turn the clock to the Ohio State game, and there's frustration there because you had a veteran quarterback in Quinn, and you had a really good core guys there with Taff and the defensive guys, and you think they really screwed up in this Ohio State game. And there were questions about what was going on.
Forget the quarterback. Texas might have four first-round picks.
Colin Simmons
will be drafted in the first round unless he's a disaster. One or both of their receivers, again, I keep waiting on Ryan Wingo to be more consistent, but the body and all that stuff is there. One of those two guys is probably, if they have a decent year, going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And then they might find one elsewhere. You can't put a dent in college football with three or four or five first-rounders. Mm-hmm. That's not a good
look for your coach. Yeah,
it's a really bad look.
Look at Elko and the Aggies.
Right.
The Aggies. And see, the Aggies have a tough uphill road with that schedule.
They have a much tougher schedule.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see what team in the SEC emerges and has this magical year, and they roll. They're just rolling everybody, and they're winning. They're winning. We're winning. And I'm not talking about the Georgias. I'm talking more of about the LSUs or the Aggies or someone like that. Well, maybe not the Aggies. The Aggies are expected, but, you know, is it going to be a Tennessee? I don't think so. I think they're too young. Missouri, they're so inconsistent. This is a conference that's dominated by the
top half.
The blue bloods.
Yeah, I don't think that changes.
The blue bloods.
I mean, and they notice how Mike Elko didn't make any excuses, though.
No.
I love that. What do you mean? We got nothing to brag about.
We got no trophies.
No trophies. End of sentence.
He is still smarting from the game here in Austin, yes, and definitely smarting against the Miami game, where they had it all.
I did an entire segment. But I think it's true, you know, Texas gets a little bit of a pass because the entire country bought this Arch Manning is young thing, but there is no pass this season.
Mm-hmm.
The criticism should and would be ramped up. You're a paper tiger is what people are going to say, and they're not going to be wrong. They need anything less than playing for an SEC championship is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It is. The look is ridiculous. I don't care what excuses need to be made. I just think the look is going to be ridiculous. And then not getting damn close to playing for the championship is also going to be viewed as, hey, bud, when do you deliver what it is you're supposed to deliver?
I'm kind of getting where you are about this Ohio State game. That win or lose, you know, it's not going to affect what happens at the end of the year.
I don't. I heard just the opposite on your favorite, almost Senator Paul Feinbaum show today. I think it was today. Maybe it's yesterday.
Hey, Paul, them Shorthorns out there today, are they in Tampa today?
Yeah.
I hate them Longhorns.
And so he had a guy on, I don't know who it is, whose argument was the Ohio State-Texas game is the most important game of the year. I don't think so at all. I don't think it affects either one of them and shouldn't affect either one of them much at all.
I think Texas OU is more important than Texas Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, a game
in
August. I mean,
game.
It's like arguing about NFL games in September. We don't do that. Dallas and Philadelphia may be a cool big game, but no one says, if they don't win this one, it's all over. Mm-hmm. You live in a playoff world. What matters is what kind of momentum do you have in November? That's the way it should be talked about.
The thing with this Texas team, it's going to catch up with them. If they do on the road this year at Tennessee or LSU or Missouri and the Aggies, what they did at Florida and Mississippi State and Kentucky. Just have a terrible.
They're going to lose.
They're going to lose those games.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing at Neyland Field in Rocky Top in late September before 105,000, you know, hillbillies.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Man, that's a little harsh.
The Rocky. I know. I love Tennessee. They came and helped us at the Alamo, Jeff. You knew that, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm aware of some of that.
Tennessee came. The Volunteers. Yeah, they came and helped us. And I thank the good people of Tennessee, but they're nuts up there.
I mean, it didn't quite work out, but they tried.
Well, yeah, they helped us here, but a lot of the Tennessee boys died.
Yeah. I know that.
Yeah, Davy Crockett, king of the old frontier.
I got it. It's a game effort.
Yeah, it was.
They really tried.
You can't do that in Rocky Top. You can't do that at Baton Rouge. You know, Missouri's a crazy deal. I don't know if you do that with my man Eli's team. But, you know, in one of these days, the worm is going to turn with the Aggie series. It's going to turn. Things will go their way. And it could be this year. It could be this year. So, all right, we got to take a break after all this deep thought. Very depressing story about one of my favorite wide receivers in the NFL. It's terrible news.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible
news. He's done.
News.
He's straight to porn.
So
He's straight to porn.
Back with more after this. 1027 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN. You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
Fernando Mendoza has signed his contract with the Los Angeles Raiders. He will take a backup position to Kirk Cousins. Don't know how long that'll last, but he will learn from Kirk Cousins.
You know what the issue was?
No.
The issue was, there's no argument about the money. The issue was the Raiders like to pay the bonus in installments.
Mm.
He wanted it in a lump sum.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Mm.
That was the issue. I don't know. I mean, I don't know who gave in, but that was the, because the money was already set. There was no argument about the amount.
Right.
The Raiders' pushback was, we don't pay these in a lump sum. And I don't know if the guy's headed to the win or what, but he wanted a lump sum of whatever, $55 million.
Golly,
can you imagine that? Looking at your checking account.
Can you imagine that? Go down to the El Cortez and start playing Baccarat.
El Cortez?
Yeah.
The guy's got $55 million in his account. You're at the El Cortez?
I like the win, don't get me wrong, but I'd go. I went to the El Cortez for the first time. You ever been to the El Cortez?
I have been to the El
Cortez. It's the oldest casino.
Not with $55 million.
Well,
though.
No, you don't take that in your back pocket.
He's in a room by himself with friends.
El Cortez is great. It is old school.
It
it's
is.
Like Shelley and the Shangri-La.
I think it's one. Is it one deck?
No, I don't know. I played Baccarat there.
Okay.
And it was so much fun. We were right by the bar.
What was the table? How much?
15 or 20. Okay. It was not bad at all.
Yeah.
But Baccarat is a no-brainer. You have no decisions.
Right.
You have
none.
Absolutely no decisions.
I know.
The cards dictate. It's the closest to eight.
Yep.
And
it's player or bank, right?
Player or bank. And if you bet the bank, you've got to play like a 10% or 5% vigorous.
Although you can do a tie,
you can do all this stuff, ties and stuff. It's really fun.
Yeah.
But, and you follow the shoe, and they've got it up there how many?
Yeah.
It is so
fun. Is it in Mandarin? Where I played.
Oh, really?
It's in Chinese, and no one speaks English anywhere near there.
Is that right?
Yep.
It is so much fun to
Everyone
play.
Everyone is smoking.
Well, at that day at the El Cortez, nobody was smoking, but you're right at some of those. I remember playing at the Riviera or the Desert Inn. It was just Smoke City. And those, you know, there are a lot of Asian players there. I sat next to a dentist from St. Louis who won $44,000.
How do you know he's a dentist?
You know me.
Oh.
Hi, what do you do for a living?
Oh, my God.
He was a dentist. $44,000 because there were like eight straight players.
Yeah.
And he was increasing his bet.
There's some belief, strategy, whatever, that they watch the board.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure it out.
You catch the wave.
Yeah.
Catch the wave. But it was so much fun. We did that for several hours and then shot some crap there at El Cortez. And they got $3.50 hot dog,
too. He has $55 million.
I know, but they have $3.50 hot dogs.
You go get a $3 hot dog?
Damn good. Downtown, and then you walk over there to the Golden Nugget and the Horseshoe. And
That one was one of my favorites.
What's
the
that?
Golden Nugget. I used to stay there all the time.
Really?
It's been completely revamped.
And go to Benny Binion's, the Binion's.
Well, yeah,
that's
my
not
dad
there anymore.
Loved that
it's
place.
There.
Yes, it is.
No. It's
sure, it's still there.
I went there. It's still there. Benny Binion's is there. It's right there. Of course it is.
Ugh.
It's a little rough around the
edges. Is he buried in the desert?
I don't know.
Or the wife or girlfriend? I
don't know.
That's what, I think.
Somebody killed him. Their girlfriend, maybe.
They're doing a movie about him.
Yeah.
Benny Binion. He's a Texas guy.
Yeah. He's buried there, and so is the rest of his money.
Okay.
That's what my dad always said.
All right. Oh, the tweets.
Jeez. Oh, the tweets. The tweets.
Let's
the tweets.
See here. Nate Hall 512 tweets. Kind of funny that people think that Sark should be the greatest coach in the world, blaming you also. You want Charlie back? Charlie Strong got fired because he didn't do a good enough job.
Charlie Strong was an awful head coach at Texas.
He got fired.
And he was great at Louisville because of one player.
Look, I don't know what you're trying to do. First of all, he got fired, okay? And if you lose at Texas, you should get fired. That's the way it works. But you got to remember.
Can I jump in? Yeah. You rightfully said yesterday, I like Steve Sarkisian. But Steve Sarkisian has every advantage in the world.
Yeah.
If Sonny Dykes coached Texas team, it would be the same thing or possibly better.
I think
it'd
be better.
Name another coach, a top coach. If Lane Kiffin coached at Texas, it would be top notch.
Yeah, I mean they've
got every advantage here.
Yeah, here's first of all, comparing the two, I don't think Texas should lose. I know every advantage is there. My coach got fired. You know why? We didn't win enough. That's the way it works. To cut these guys so much slack, I think is kind of weak. Here's the thing.
Let me say this. I think he's in a unique position because Texas is coming off the glory days of Mack Brown that were so great with all the 10-win seasons. And you went into the Charlie Strongs, which was a mishire. Then you went into Tom Herman. And even though people liked Charlie, nobody had confidence in Charlie. And then Herman turned out to be kind of an ego guy, and nobody really liked Tom Herman.
But there's a big difference. Here's why any comparisons doesn't matter anymore. It's a different sport ruled by money. Okay? So Mack Brown's coaching world was completely different than Steve Sarkisian's. My days of playing, we had every advantage there is. Guess what? They have an even greater advantage now.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not an equal world. It never has been an equal world. Now it's really unequal. So to say you coach at Texas or Michigan or Ohio State, you should not lose four games.
No.
You know why? Because you're able to buy everyone that everyone else can't,
sure,
except the other programs like yourself, which there aren't that many. So to compare him to Charlie Strong is ridiculous because it's a completely different world.
Well, Steve also said today in the brief interview with the College Sports Network on Sirius, he talked about we're now in a time of NIL and he said this is, go ahead and pay them what they want.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and pay them what they want.
Look, it's
go ahead and pay them what they want, which is the case.
Look, whether it's Steve Sarkisian or anyone else, I've said it many times, I don't blame those guys for not liking where they are now. I think it would suck. I don't have a problem with that.
Give me an example of that. What are you talking about?
Well, because you really, your office is spending a good chunk of your time negotiating and paying street agents for guys that have not proven their value more times than not. It's one thing to go and pay a free agent. It's another to pay some high school dude. That would drive me nuts. Recruiting 17-year-olds would drive any normal human being crazy anyway. Paying their hangers-on would drive you nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to believe most of these guys don't like that part of their business.
It's different with the transfer portal guys. You've got some body of work, they've done.
Yeah, you're hiring a free agent.
And like those two running backs,
right,
pay them what they want.
Yeah.
Because Texas really needed them.
Listen, I mean, you're being overly dramatic saying, well, you don't like him, get Charlie Strong. That's not true. I don't think it's outrageous to say, hey, bud, no one tells the Texas coach, and by the way, fans are not all that critical. Ask Kalen DeBoer what life is like. But no one is saying that Steve Sarkisian should have won multiple national championships. It's not outrageous to say, dude, you don't have any hardware. That's not okay. That doesn't mean he's a bad human being. That's just not okay if you're coaching at Texas now. Guess what? If you're coaching they have hardware. And you know, before you say, well, it takes time, my ass, ask the guy at Indiana how long it took.
2 years.
2 years. And he got hardware. But, what do you mean but? What advantage does Indiana have that Texas doesn't? Or A&M? I'd say the same about any coach. You no longer get the opportunity to say it takes time. You do not get that argument.
No, that 3-year plan, 5-year plan is outside
BS.
The window. Yeah.
That's BS. Sonny Dykes bounces from place to place and wins.
Everywhere he goes.
Yeah. So Kurt Cignetti did it in 2 years at the worst program in the sport. So don't tell me at A&M it's difficult to win or Texas to win. The dude did it at Indiana.
Yeah.
So it's an even different world than it was 3 or 4 years ago, where the Blue Bloods, have always had advantages. Now it's dramatic.
It's huge.
There's only like 10 of them that can compete with each other.
Right.
Money-wise.
Right.
Right?
I know. I listened to the new Auburn coach today, and that poor sap, you know, they are at a disadvantage.
Is that the guy from where? South?
Golish or yeah.
Godlish, yeah.
Godly, yeah. Nice guy on the radio, sure. But he's just, they're behind the eight ball because they don't have the resources that Texas does.
The best player at Auburn went where?
Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Texas could pay him more money.
Right. So it'd be like saying there's no salary cap in the NFL. You would not give the head coach of the Cowboys that many excuses. If his payroll were 9 times what everyone else's was, you would say, hey, bud, where's the trophy?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like the Dodgers in baseball.
Yeah. I mean, so there's Texas and maybe 10 others have huge advantages. And when it doesn't work, then go buy more.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even like the NFL. You're not even under contract. So if Texas found some guys they didn't like a year ago, they'll just go buy some more to replace them.
They do. That's the model now.
Yeah. So they're not even 2 and 3 year deals. Yeah. They're 1 season deals.
That's the deal at Texas Tech. That's why Tech was able to go from a nondescript team with joy. Then here came name, image, likeness, and the transfer portal, and show me the money. And they bought the players, and that's the fans in Lubbock love it. They even tried to get a player who gambled on his own team games.
Yeah.
And it backfired on him.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're still going to be the favorites to win the Big 12. And they should be in the playoff.
Agreed.
And their head coach said at the Big 12 media days, it's a bust of a season unless we win some games in the playoffs.
And he's right.
Which it was last
year. But see, that's the thing. I mean, I'll give Joey McGuire credit for owning it.
Yeah.
I'll give Mike Elko credit for owning it. Just what's ridiculous is to hear whether it's Steve Sarkisian or anyone else. I don't know that Ryan Day gets a pass to say those things. You wouldn't let him say that stuff. You'd say, shut up, man.
Yeah.
Go win. You got every advantage. Joey McGuire doesn't say, boy, our schedule, blah, blah, blah. No, he says, we ought to win a championship.
Just look at the coaching staff. Look at the coaching staff at Ohio State. We talked about Arthur Smith yesterday, former NFL coach. Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator, former NFL coach.
Yeah.
And they're damn good. And they're looking for a head coaching job in college football, going back to the pros. But they're good. They're tacticians.
And if they don't play for it all at Ohio State, they eat him alive.
Mm-hmm.
They don't tolerate any of that stuff.
Well, remember when they won the national title, they lost
to Michigan at home,
and they had the fights and the flag planting, and it was all
hell.
He was almost dead man walking.
Yeah,
I agree. They had this turnaround, and Kabumski, they win the national title.
That's what I'm saying, that everything is about November, December, not September. Scoopaloop tweets, I was at the game last night. The humidity was unbearable. Zero breeze whatsoever. It was awful. I recommend parking one of the shopping centers at Burnett 183 and catching the bus, which comes every 10 minutes.
I've
heard a lot of people do that. Just ride a quick bus to the stadium. Yeah.
Down the street.
Yep. I didn't know you could park at one of those businesses.
I figured they'd tow you.
I did too. I'm right by there and I get scared.
Mm-hmm.
I would just Uber.
But you can't get an Uber out.
That's a good point.
See, the thing is, I've done that with my kids, and you go, wow, this is great. And then you leave the stadium. Next thing you know, you're walking 5 miles. It's like leaving, downtown somewhere on 1 a.m. You can't find an Uber out.
I hate leaving downtown at any time.
Mm.
Chalkton DN71 tweets, hey guys, if Texas misses out on the playoffs this upcoming season, bet Sark will be fired. I don't think so. I don't think he's fired almost no matter what. I don't. And by the way, I don't think I would fire him.
No, I don't think he gets fired anything. No. Two in a row. And the deal is, too, it's kind of interesting to see, we've heard all that talk about Art sticking around for another season. If Art sticks around for another season, that tells me that Art didn't attain his goals or the team didn't attain their goals.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. He comes back, it's not a good sign.
Yeah.
But I don't think he would get fired. I mean, even if they had a duplicate season of a year ago,
he's in the hot seat.
Yes.
He will be in the hot seat.
Well, think how different the conversation would be. Mm-hmm. If Kentucky wasn't stupid,
ooh-wee.
If their coach wasn't an idiot,
yeah.
and they kick a short field goal against Texas, they beat Texas.
Or if Mississippi
State...
Mississippi State
decided, I don't know, to play any pass defense at all and not let the guy run past him, that Texas team enters this season non-playoff and lost to one or two of the worst teams in the league.
They lost to Florida,
the
Mississippi
conversation
State, Kentucky,
is completely
Georgia,
different.
Georgia, oh, Lordy. Disaster.
Yeah.
Hot seat there. Okay, quickly.
But I think he would get fired.
Tyree,
I just don't think Texas is not as militant as Alabama.
No.
Because LSU even.
Because Steve is a nice man, and people love it that Texas played Washington, they played Ohio State, but now they're hungry for more. But basically, I think a lot of Texas fans are glad to be back in the conversation. Glad. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to be relevant.
There's a different cutthroat mentality at LSU than there is at Texas.
Tyreek Hill says he still has no power in his recovering left leg, indicating the free agent wide receiver could still be a long way from returning to the NFL. He posted a YouTube video Wednesday that showed him working out as he discussed the dislocated knee and multiple ligament tears he suffered in week four last week. So, he says, it's about 10 months after doing two surgeries. My left leg is the one I figured I have no power in my left leg, so I'm trying to regain all the power back in my left leg, but it's one day at a time. He's 32 years old now. Dolphins released the 8-time Pro Bowler in February, making him a free agent for the first time in his 10-year NFL career. Wow.
He's finished.
It's over. I think it's over. Yeah.
It's over.
I hope, man, save some money. Good Lord.
I think he saved money.
How's he going to do that?
I don't know. I don't think.
No.
Cheetah likes to spend the money.
You know what's next for him?
The path to poverty is angry women.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of them.
So saith Jeff Ward.
Exactly.
So saith
so,
Jeff.
I hate to relate to Tyreek on too many levels, but...
Is he still married to the girl from Brownwood?
I hope not. I thought that was kind of... She accused him of some violence, and not only that, being not the best dad since his toddler was playing with matches and set his house on fire.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill is legally estranged from his wife,
okay,
Keita Vaccaro, Kenny's sister.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Vaccaro will file for divorce in April 2025.
Did she divorce him before or after the plus-size model fought him and sued him?
Might have been around that time.
Yeah.
Vaccaro secured a temporary financial arrangement requiring Hill to pay a $500,000 lump sum between $20,000 and $50,000 per month and cover her legal and housing expenses at their $5.5 million Miami mansion.
That's not counting the plus-size model that's suing him for her broken foot.
Domestic abuse allegations, reconciliation claims, yeah. Yeah, that plus-size model that embarrassed Tyreek, he then tackled her and broke his leg, but somehow they ended up in the sack together later that night.
Yeah. I don't like Tyreek's chances. I think this is a bad reality show.
Back with more on this Thursday edition here at 102.7 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN. You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, Ed Clements and Jeff Ward, on this Thursday. Hey, tomorrow's Wine Friday. Who's bringing it?
I don't know.
Are we going to drink wine tomorrow? It's so damn hot outside.
It's really hot.
It's really hot.
You're going to hate me for this.
What?
I got a glass of wine at the game last night.
Did you really?
I mean, I got two bottles of water, too, but
a little hot to drink red wine at the game?
Yeah, it was pretty miserable.
Yeah. I haven't been drinking much, so it's going to be...
Yeah, I can't say that.
I did have a good drink at Dirty's last week. Had a couple of Tito's and lemonade.
Oh, nice.
That sounds great.
It was great.
That's not a bad choice.
Very refreshing.
Yeah.
Tito's and lemonade.
Good for you.
But I'm just not drinking.
You pay for that? What a stupid question.
I tip heavily, though. Part of our deal was Sports Saturday on KLBJ. No, it was a great drink. Lemonade and Tito's at Dirty Martin's place to go along with chicken strips and tater tots.
Perfect. Those chicken strips are good.
Aren't they good?
Yeah, I love them.
Oh, God, they're good. Yeah. Good food, good people, Dirty Martin's place on Guadalupe. Have you seen the rendering of the Chiefs' new stadium? They unveiled it yesterday.
The one in Kansas?
The Hunt
the
family.
The one that's not in Kansas City?
Yeah.
$3 billion?
$3 billion dome stadium, 70,000 seats. Sales tax and bonds will cover 70% of the cost.
Nice.
20,000 parking spaces controlled by the Hunt family. Your girl, Gracie, who's getting married, by the way. So
he can't get a loan or pay anything himself, huh?
I assume by this they're going to pay 30% of the cost.
That was generous of him.
Yeah, 30% the Hunt family will, right. Who's, you know, loaded. But it is a beautiful stadium. It looks like...
Turf or grass?
I don't know. I didn't see that in the rendering. It looks like...
Arrowhead is grass, isn't it?
Yeah. It looks like a SoFi stadium to me.
So this is the stadium that Patrick built.
The Patrick Mahomes
built. It's Mahomes Stadium.
Yeah, could name it Mahomes.
Yeah, they should call it that.
I'm serious.
Mahomes Memorial.
Yeah. Well, but Memorial.
He's alive.
He just tore his ACL, Trey. He's not dead.
The Brittany and Patrick Mahomes Stadium. Oh, Brittany, she's looking good.
Is that so?
The Kansas City Current going to play there, too?
No, they've got their own stadium.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They've got a state-of-the-art women's soccer stadium that Brittany owns the team, she and Patrick.
Soccer club,
yeah. That's why they're
there. She's selling out of software or whatever she's doing to earn money?
No, she's an influence person.
Oh, is that so? That's how she makes money.
She's the worst.
What do you mean she's the worst? She's a small-town Texas girl who played soccer. She owns a soccer team, Jeff, and she's a mother of bronze and silver and gold and sterling and all the different, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. All the periodic chart tables.
She's got them all.
Potassium.
Aluminum.
Aluminum.
Her kids after the periodic table.
Boy, she's made a meteoric rise from small town Texas girl in East Texas playing soccer someplace, some small school.
Yeah.
Always love Patrick Mahomes. He's done a good job. Let me tell you what. He's overcome a wacky family.
Yeah.
His brother and his dad. His mother's really nice.
And he doesn't do stupid things.
No, the opposite. He's a professional. He's a professional football player. That education at Texas Tech did at Raider Power.
Off.
Yeah. Yeah, Raider Power.
I don't think, didn't we make a bet? I have them finishing next to last in their division.
I believe you have them finishing last in the division.
No, I said we did this yesterday. I thought it was yesterday, but I'm not certain.
Kyle will have it on tape. You had a lot of jackassery bitch yesterday.
I think I had him next to last. I mean, I don't.
You think it's going to be
both corners?
You think it's going to be Denver and the Chargers, and then Kansas City, then the Raiders?
I do.
Yeah, I disagree.
I think it's a great division.
I do too.
It's like the old days with Charlie Jones.
Oh, those late Sunday afternoon games. Yeah.
I mean, so I think it's a great division. I like it.
Yeah.
And if Mahomes, as long as he's on the field, it's always going to be a great game. But I think, defense wins, and the Broncos have it.
Trey Elling up next from the SEC Media Days. We understand he's going to have Arch. We hope he does. He'll have Sankey on, the commissioner. Who else? What surprise guest will Trey have on?
Well, either with or before Arch Manning is Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney
nice.
At the SEC Media Days?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. He's always there.
Fantastic. All right. See you tomorrow here at 1027 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN.